Tonight we're going into just a understanding deeper about how God touches our lives. If you're making any kind of a note whatsoever, seeking His touch is the name of the title. I don't know about you, but I remember oftentimes in my life when God touched me. I didn't see Him and I didn't feel Him, but I know that He touched me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I just know that I know that I know that I had this special encounter with the living God. And I know, even though I didn't see Him and I didn't feel Him physically, I know that He touched my heart. I know that He changed my life when He touched my heart. And I just wanted to share with you about the 6 or 7 or 8 different times in Scripture that Jesus touches people. And when Jesus touches them, something happens. And I find that not only was He touching them and healing them, and that's where we usually stop, but I thought we'd go further than just the obvious. He touched them and they got healed. This particular thing took place, or that particular thing. But I thought it would be great for us to look even deeper into the touch of Jesus, so that you and I can seek the Lord every day to be touched by Him and receive the same benefits that He's describing in Scripture. Sometimes people might think, well, you're over-spiritualizing the Word of the Lord. Can I tell you something? How do you over-spiritualize? Stop and think about this for a moment. How do you over-spiritualize the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? I mean, can you figure that out? I can't figure it out. How do you over-spiritualize the fact that you gave your heart and life to Jesus and got saved? And you're no longer on this earth as a citizen of this earth, but you are now in the earth, but not of the earth. And that you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. You talk about over-spiritualizing. I find that when it comes to the things of God, I don't know that you can over-spiritualize, because it's going to take that kind of sight, that kind of insight to look into the very heartbeat of God. And when I saw Jesus touching people over and over and over again in Scripture, I saw Him doing something and saying something to each and every one of us about the touch of Jesus. Now listen to me. Every day you and I can get touched by God. And whether you know it or not, but here's how it works. And you'll find in James 4th chapter, it says, draw near to me. I say that all the time. You draw near to God and God will draw near to you. I find that when I go after God, God is there to touch me. But if I don't go after God, He doesn't touch me. There's times when He'll speak to me. There's times when the Holy Spirit will share with me, tell me what to do and how to do things or what not to do. But I find that if I go after God, then God touches me. Because if I draw near to God, He draws near to me. And when He draws near to me, He touches me. And I want to show you some examples about Jesus touching people and what He did for them when He touched them, besides the obvious healing that took place. Listen to me. Because in His touch, there's a story in there for you, and the story is about you. And so as we see this, it should inspire us to touch Jesus every day. How? By drawing close to Him. How? By not staying far off, but getting near. In order to be touched, you've got to be close. And then when you get close, bang, He touches, and some things take place in your life as well as in my life. So I want to share some of those things as we look at the life of Jesus, and more than just the story. Remember, we're going beyond just the obvious. We're going into the spiritual now. We're going in to see what Jesus is doing as an example for them. It's a physical example for them, but it's a spiritual truth for you and I. Do you understand that? And oftentimes you'll have Jesus giving us parables, talking about being over spiritual, parable that is a physical illustration about something that is a spiritual understanding about something else. Follow me? And now as we look at the Word of God, let's don't just settle in the obvious. I'm going to say it again, this third time I've said it. But let's go past the obvious into the spiritual and see what Jesus is doing in your life and in my life. Turn with me to the text of Matthew, if you will. In Matthew, I find this wonderful story. And here's what we're going to be talking about all night long. What being touched brings to your life. If you know what being touched brings to your life, then you ought to want to be touched by Jesus. And you can be touched by Jesus every single day of your life. Every day, every moment, every day you get out of yourself, every day you get out of the world, every day you get out of the way, every day you get out of the trials, tribulations, pressures of life, and get into Jesus, he's going to touch you because you now have drawn near and close to him. First thing, by the way, what being touched brings in your life, the very first thing that brings in your life always is cleansing. There's just something about God's presence that cleanses us all the time. And I want you to know, somebody might say, well, God wants me to be cleansed. He oftentimes tells us, clean your hands, you sinner. Do this, cleanse yourself. But I'm here to tell you something. There's a part that I have responsibility for. But I know that when God comes into my life and touched me originally, now stop, think about this, and touched you originally, there was a first thing that took place was a cleansing. And a lot of times we don't understand that because God doesn't associate that with which is wrong or contrary to his ways. So he's going to cleanse you, get you washed, get you cleaned up by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing. So when I draw close to God, first thing I do is I get cleansed. I find myself oftentimes worried about the world, worried about situations, worried about life. Anybody there with me? Worried about finances, worried about the government, worried about this. I hear this news media thing and this news media thing. And all of a sudden, you know, my mind is just filled with junk, and I need God in the simplest terms to just cleanse my heart from the worry and concern and frustration of life itself. Jesus, take a look at this in Matthew, the 8th chapter, starting at verse number 1. If you've got your Bible, let's go there together and let's have some fun in the word of the Lord today as we look at the life of Jesus and what he did when he touched people. Remember, each one of them were being healed. There's a healing touch, and if you need that tonight, it's available for you. God, of course, wants you to come to him where he can touch you and heal you. But also, there's some things taking place that when you get close to God, immediately he'll cleanse you from the filth of the world. There's something neat about today. You can smell it in the air. Our first rain of the year. What a pretty good rain, man. I was surprised. It wasn't a little drizzle or anything, but you could smell it, and it just washed everything clean. And it just washed it all. It just probably a good inch of rain for Southern California. That's a lot of rain. And so we find ourselves. And the neat thing about it is it brought the smells out. It brought the cleansing. You look over everything. Tomorrow, when the sun's out, it's going to be good. First thing God wants to do is he wants to cleanse you from your thinking, cleanse you from your life, cleanse you from where you're at, get you back. When you get close to him, he cleanses you from whatever situation. And some of you tonight need to work at staying close to Jesus so that he can keep you cleansed from the things of this world on a regular basis. Notice what it says, if you will, in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse number 1. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Verse number 2, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, I want to stop you right there, and I just want you to think for a moment. Here's Jesus. Here's a leper coming after him. You don't understand about lepers. I don't either. But a leper was somebody who had a disease that was probably the worst type of disease you could possibly imagine. Let's talk about it just for a moment. It's a disease that literally stays on your body. It doesn't kill you right away. It rots your life away. It'll rot your body parts away. It'll rot your hands away. It'll rot your feet and bones away. It'll rot your facial structure away. It'll rot you away until you eventually die, just exactly like sin. And you'll find out that this is so much like sin. Sin will come along and it'll, you can still live. You can still keep on going. You don't notice anything. And then all of a sudden, man, you're starting to lose. You'll lose a little here and you'll lose a little there and you'll lose a little bit. You're hanging around people. They're all losing. So you don't feel anything about it. And leprosy is a lot like sin itself. So when this leper comes to Jesus, he is an awful lot like you and me. When we come to Jesus, we've immediately, first thing we're saying is this interesting word that he says in verse number 2. The leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing. Isn't it good news to know that your Jesus is willing? I mean, we don't have to ask that question, if you are willing. We ought to be a people who know you are willing. Thank God you are willing. And he comes along and he makes us say, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And thank God he's in the scripture, because here we see an illustration of you and I. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately leprosy was cleansed. In other words, it's just that fast when God comes in and cleanses you. You can get filthy by the world. You can listen to stuff, get into garbage, get into worry, frustration, anxiety. You know, your sleep is being robbed from you. The worry, you don't know how you're going to make it tomorrow. Society keeps saying it's a horrible situation. We're going in a double dip recession. I got good news for you. You get in the presence of God, God will touch you. He'll clean you from all of that kind of garbage thinking and bring your heart back to the reality. Oh, that's what we need. Have you ever gone to church and you're just down and out, discouraged, you crawl through the door, but somehow you got touched by Jesus, you walked out, the first thing God does is he cleanses us up. When God cleanses us, listen to me, you're now in this holy position that he can have relationship with you. I don't know about you, but when I'm doing things right and I'm cleansed, I feel good enough to talk to God. It's when I feel dirty that I don't want to talk to God. It's when I'm in sin or I've done something wrong. It's then I don't want to go to church because I feel like the big H word, hypocrite. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go. I feel like a hypocrite. But that's when I need to go. Why? Because I need him to touch me. Why? Because I need him to cleanse me. Why? Because he is willing. And when I am cleansed by him, then my heart is open to communicate with him, worship him, praise him, give him the glory, give him the honor. When you get close to God, hear me now, when you get close to God, he will cleanse you of the filth of this world. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. And you see it in the life. You see it in the life of this leper that we were all very much just like in our sins and so on. So first thing that takes place is cleansing. You know, once God's cleansed you, then there's got to be something that's going to help you get to where God needs you to be. He'll cleanse you. And he doesn't just leave you cleansed. He's now going to get you so set free. So here's the second thing. Watch this. What being touched brings to your life and my life. Here it is. Number 2, freedoms. Where we couldn't before, we can now. Where we didn't have any hope before, we've got faith now, we've got hope now, we've got a future now. What we couldn't do before, we can do now. Where we had no future, we have a future. Where we had no destiny, we have a destiny. All because God has set us free. What good would it be for him to cleanse us and then we're still in bondage? Do you understand that? You can't do anything if you're still in bondage. He had to cleanse us and then get us out of the bondage so that we can be free. Now, my Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Word of God will do something. It will make you free. And so all of a sudden, God wants you to know something. And hear me now. He'll set you free. There's freedom waiting for us. I don't care how much you've been in bondage. I don't care what hole you've dug yourself into. I don't care how dark it is, how deep it is. I'm here to tell you, when you're touched by Jesus, he'll cleanse you and then he'll set you free. free to serve Him, free to love Him, free to worship Him, free to believe in Him, free to see past what I used to. Oh my goodness, it's good to be a Christian. Freedom. I need to be free. Are you following what I'm saying? Because it wouldn't do any good for Him to cleanse me and keep me in bondage. He had to set me free. So now the choices are, I could serve Him, not serve Him, worship Him or not worship Him, love Him or not love Him. And of course, we all choose to worship Him and love Him. And oh my goodness, that's where freedom comes in. Freedom is so important for all of us. Notice what it says. I want to take you to Mark this time in the 7th chapter. Will you go with me to Mark? The 7th chapter. And we're going to look at verse number, I'll start reading in verse 32, even though it's not up on the overhead. I don't think it is, but we'll do verse 33 will be up on the overhead, and verse 35 will be up on the overhead. It says, and then they brought him to one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. Somebody knew about the touch of Jesus, didn't they? Oftentimes we look in the scripture, they knew how important for Jesus to touch them. You can do everything until Jesus touches the people, it isn't going to work. I can come in here and huff and puff and sweat all over the place, shout and scream. But I want you to know something. If you walk out of here and you're not touched by Jesus, you'll never come back and you'll never grow in the ways of the Lord. You got to be touched by Jesus. They knew that Jesus need to put their hand on him. Now watch this. Remember, this is a physical example of a spiritual truth. A physical story of a spiritual truth. Now watch this. Verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ear, and he spat and touched his tongue. Wait a minute. Did you read that verse? That's like freaky. Let me read it again. He took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat. The word spat means, oh yeah, he spit. I'll show you how it works. I'm going to demonstrate. No, I'm going to demonstrate it. What are you laughing at, doctor? Come up here. Dr. Paul, come here now, Dr. Paul. Come here, Dr. Paul. Come on now, come on down here. Come on right here, Dr. Paul. I know you love me. Okay, so you're the guy who's having a hard time speaking and can't hear. Jesus comes, puts his hands in his ears, okay? And then he spits. Where does he spit? But he grabs his tongue. So I'm assuming he spits in his hand. Grabs his tongue. Are you ready, dude? Ready? You love me?
I got to.
Okay, stick out the tongue. I'm gonna spit in my hand and grab your tongue. Is that okay?
Okay.
Sit down, doctor. Golly, man. How gross is that? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you stop and think about it just for a moment. How much will somebody go through to be free? I mean, some stranger walked up to me, stuck his fingers in my ear, probably spit in his hand and grabbed his tongue. Think about that. And the guy let him do it. You got to want to be set free. And you see, a lot of times we as Christians really don't want the freedom. We want some like Tinkerbell to fly over with her magic dust. And then there's not going to be any problems at all. Just let her sprinkle me, not whatsoever. But that guy had to open his mouth, let somebody grab his tongue that he didn't know, who just spit on his hands, and had his fingers a moment before in his ears. Who knows what was in his ears that he grabbed his tongue with? You got to... This is a gross teaching. You got to want to be free. I mean, you got to fight for it. You're going to have to make effort on your part. I don't know about you, but I want to be free of the systems of this world, of the worry of the world, of the concerns of life. I want to be free of all the junk that's out there. I want to be free of Fox News and CNN and who's running and who isn't running. What the heck is the difference? Who's running and who isn't? Listen, I'm an old man, been around a long time. There ain't been one of them that ever made a difference anyway. It's going to be Jesus Christ that's going to make a difference. Verse 35 says these words, immediately his ears were open and his impediment of speech was loosed and he spoke plainly. Immediately his freedom came, but didn't come without a price on his part. He had to allow the master to come, but he had to go after the master first. Following me? And then he had to go through an humiliation time. Some people say, well, I want all I can get of God, but they won't go through the humiliation of letting the baptism of the Holy Spirit fall upon them. I don't know. That's a little too freaky for me. Oh, is it? Talk to this guy. He got free. Now, I tell you, in order to be free, you're going to have to work at this. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to passion. You're going to have to go after God, and God will come after you. And when he comes after you, it may not be in your way of thinking. Is that in his way of thinking? And all of a sudden, when you let him be God and you be you, freedom comes. We're talking about being touched by Jesus. The third one is, and I love this, now that he's got you cleansed, and got you free to serve him, he's going to have to do something else. He's going to have to illuminate you. Illumination means you now can see stuff that you never saw before. I don't know about you, but when I got saved and got God on the inside of me, it was like the whole world, like the scales fell off of my eyes. I could now see yes and no and right and wrong, up and down. I could now see what was wrong about things, and I could now see what was right about things. And all of a sudden, listen, God didn't just leave me cleansed or free. He now needs to build us and edify us and illuminate our decision-making process so we know where and when and how to go. Because without it, my friends. So here's Jesus. Matthew, go back there to Matthew, the ninth chapter. I mean, I told you, we could just look at all of these things. Every time he touched somebody, yes, he healed them, and we could stop there. But something much deeper takes place. In Matthew, the ninth chapter, in verse number 28, says this, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. Stop right there. Here's Jesus walking into the house. And here comes a bunch of blind men. Didn't say a blind man. Blind men came to him. Now he's confronted with a whole... Remember, he says, here, now listen to what I'm going to say to you. Draw near to Jesus, he'll draw near to you. And when he draws near to you, he touches you. And cleansing comes, and freedom comes, and now illumination. And here's these blind men, and they're coming to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Verse 29 says, and he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. When Jesus touches you, all of a sudden, verse 30, and their eyes were opened. Do you know that you don't see just with your eyes, nor do you hear just with your ears? Do you know that you see with your heart and you hear with your heart? That's what this is all about. And all of a sudden, they now could see. Because when Jesus touches you, you can now see the things that you never saw before. You now can know what the outcome of life is all about. You can now see the purpose of why you are even on the planet. Jesus wants to touch us. Yes, to cleanse us, but not to just leave us in a cleansed position, but to bring us to freedom so that we can serve Him. But not just to leave us in a freedom position, but to illuminate us, to make us so we know which way to go and what to do and how to do it. We can now see what we never saw before. The last one is simply this: when Jesus touches, what brings being touched brings into your life, here's the last one: security. No longer afraid. I don't care if Jesus comes tonight. Hallelujah, Maranatha. Let Him come. If the eastern sky splits, I know it. Here He comes. Praise God, it's okay. Doesn't matter what happens with the countries in Europe. Doesn't matter with the coalition. Doesn't matter with the alliances that are going on. The World Trade Center, the world economy. Doesn't matter about any of that stuff. Because here I got good news. I'm not afraid of the outcome any longer. Death has no hold on us. We just go from this to there. From the physical to the spiritual. We go from the short period of time here to eternity there. It's like going from one room to the other room. No longer afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid. You're secure in Christ when Christ touches you. Doesn't matter what someone says. Doesn't matter whether you live or die. Doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or not wealthy. You're not afraid of tomorrow because you got God on your side today. Jesus touching people. Matthew, the 17th chapter. You're there in Matthew, the 9th chapter. Just go. Matthew, the 17th chapter. I'll back it up to verse. Here's the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter's with him. James is with him, and John are on this mountain with Jesus. Man, they see things that freak them out. Verse 5 says, and while he was still speaking, and behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. I want you to know something. I'd have potted my pants right there. And so would you. You know you would have. You would have done what these men did, and that was to fall on your face, wondering, my goodness, here's this dark, illuminated cloud that a voice is coming out, and it's speaking about Jesus, and you would have fallen on your face, and you know it. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were, how many realize they weren't just afraid, they were greatly afraid. When the Bible says someone's greatly afraid, and then look what happens. Verse number 7, but Jesus came, touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. Some of you tonight, Jesus wants to touch and tell you to arise and don't be afraid. You know why? Because when He touches you, you get cleansed. But He doesn't leave you just cleansed. He sets you free. And then He doesn't just leave you free, but He illuminates you to the place where you can see the difference between right, wrong, up and down, where to go and where not to go. And fourthly, He makes you secure. You don't have to be afraid any longer.